Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you My Gender Changed Forever on Spiritual Sites, written by Michelle Rose. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing and check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. Around 650 AD, a group of people anthropologists refer to as the Sinaqua entered the area of east central Arizona. The name, given by the Spanish explorers, means without water. Of course, today we know the area was not only wetter than today, but provided an ideal habitat that permitted the Sinaqua to flourish until around AD 1400. The next societies to exploit this area were the Yavapai and the Apache. Both were hunter-gatherer cultures, and their small bands migrated within their established boundaries. Following the game and seasonal wild crops, their dominion over their lands remained uncontested and fiercely defended. This way of life continued until 1583, when the first Spanish explorers entered the area. By 1864, the U.S. Army was building forts throughout the Yavapai and Apache ancestral lands. As these societies were confronted by the Europeans, their lands were lost and unspeakable atrocities befell the Native Americans. Some tribes, unable to resist, were decimated within one generation. The severity of the climate and terrain in the Southwest gave some a temporary respite from their fate. As generations were murdered, the timeless history of these once great people was lost to mankind. Without a written language, knowledge was passed from generation to generation in the form of stories and ceremonies. Fortunately, there are still many elders who retain some of the histories, and present-day attempts at documentation will preserve it for future generations. My training is as an anthropologist, but my hobby is metaphysics. Native society is inseparable from the living and spirit worlds. There are sites, almost always a geographic formation, that are deeply entwined with the spirit world. Remarkable and extraordinary influence on human events is attributed to these sites. We have come to know these places as a vortex. I find the collision of ancient religious ceremonies, human endeavor, and the world of spirits just too good to pass up. Over the past several years, I have made several presentations to the tribal elders, seeking their permission to formally gain access to these sites and the local tribal members. Each time they listened carefully, showed genuine interest, but always denied my requests. That was until I met a Native American woman, known to me only as 80. I was in my hotel room in Kayenta, Arizona, after my latest failure with the elders. I was preparing to return home when I heard a soft knock on the door. In her late 20s, she was tall, muscular, and very fit. She introduced herself and entered my room. Well-educated, politically active, and very resourceful, she seemed to be sympathetic to my idea. We spent the entire afternoon discussing the history of the local cultures. She was very knowledgeable about my area of interest and claimed to have been sent by the deities to assist me in my studies. When I reminded her of my difficulties with the tribal leaders, she informed me she would take my case to the council and would call me when the needed permits were secured. With that, she got up and simply left. Sitting in my room, I rejoiced at my renewed hope. How and why kept me wondering. But as I left and headed for home, I was very content with what had just happened. But what was all that stuff about her being sent by the deities? As I drove back to the Valley of the Sun, I pondered this question, but could not come up with a plausible explanation. That will have to wait. There's so much to do if she can deliver. The days passed and my preparations were well underway. First, I needed to download several years of reference material into my notebook. Then I needed to select which sites would be included in the study. And finally, collect all the needed photographic, electronic, and satellite link-up electronics. The days became weeks and the weeks became a month, but still no word. Finally, the moths became a season, and I began to get a little depressed. By the end of August, just as my hopes were begging to fade, the dreams started. Subtle at first, with just a few glimpses, I tried to make sense of the imagery, but could only attribute them to my subconscious anxieties. These quick looks continued for a few nights and soon became clear as day. I was dreaming things from ages ago. I was being shown what I could not have seen. What I saw were images of the origins of the native people, their early societies, and their evolution to vast tribal networks. In my dreams, I was seeing this, but how? I was there, living and being among the people, But how? Was this a former life? Were these lessons from the spirit world? I couldn't understand any of it. One thing that was very clear was my perspective of tribal life, and that was, from a woman's point of view, in all my dreams, I was a girl. And very much like Adi, why had she not called? As time passed, I became a little desperate. It had been almost 4 months and still no word. I began to contemplate returning to the area and look for Adi, but she did tell me to wait in Phoenix. Then, on day after work, an email arrived from her. How she did it is still was mystery, but on her first presentation, full access was granted. There were several conditions attached, but all were acceptable. First, Adi would be my chaperone and accompany me in every aspect of the study. Second, no other outsider can be part of the team. Adi would secure the equipment and assistance. They would all be Native Americans, mostly Navajo or Apache. Lastly, all artifacts, publications, and royalties would be the sole property of the tribes. I would be allowed to be the official spokesperson for the council and receive any academic accolades that may arise from the work. Agreed, agreed, and agreed. The first expedition was scheduled for October, and the time for preparations did pass swiftly. The day finally arrived, and our team set out with little fanfare, just one tribal elder and some dancers to see us off. The ceremony was short, in a Navajo dialect, and continued as we rode off to the northwest. As the day progressed, Adi and I discussed our plans. She offered a warning of the inexplicable occurrences at the vortex. Legends so old, nobody can recall their origins. They spoke of fanciful romance, victories at war, and long-forgotten peoples. She gave me a charm to wear around my neck, just a crude figure of a woman on a leather cord. She claimed this would identify me as a friend to her people and protect me from malevolent spirits. When she handed me the charm, I went to put it on, and as I did, Adi began a rhythmic chant. Her voice was barely audible, soft and more feminine than I could ever imagine, but the words were understandable. We are coming as you commanded. We bring the one who you have selected for this honor. The odd part, she was singing in Navajo, and I could understand it. How can that be? I don't speak Navajo. We rode for days before arriving at our destination. A helicopter would have gotten us here in a few hours, but Adi claimed that would anger the spirits. When we arrived, we established our camp in the shade of the cottonwood trees, which grew in abundance in the riparian environment. The steam ran fast with clear and cold water from high in the mountains. I felt an odd sensation when seeing the river for the first time. I had checked satellite images of the area before we left, and no such river could be seen. In fact, surveys from just 1 year ago showed only remote wilderness with no river. Adi just smiled at me when I questioned her, reminding me that the vortex was just around the bend in the river. She asked if I was wearing her charm. I pulled it from under my shirt to show her, and she smiled. She began, "This vortex was one of the most spiritual sites to her people. It was considered a gateway to the spiritual world, and one that would induce all changes necessary to maintain the harmonic resonance within all males who visit." This was woman's sight. I didn't mention it, but all my colleagues were in fact women. No man wanted to come here. The assistants, all three very husky and with strong backs, had volunteered. Here is the portal that new life uses to enter this world. It is here, where the spirit leaves the underworld and enters the body of the unborn child. When the life cycle is complete, the spirit will leave this world through this portal. We took a few days to recover from our trip in. The horses had plenty of wild grass to eat, and the purity of the water was remarkable. With our camp established, preliminary surveys were completed and the real work began. One little note, nothing major, but most of my cloth seemed to be just little big for me. I didn't pay it any attention and figured, with all the strenuous work of the last week, I just lost a few pounds. But that didn't explain why my pants were a little snug around my hips and butt. One last thing, this place is so beautiful. My heart feels lighter just being here. The days became weeks and we settled into our work schedule. 3 days on and then 1 day off. The pace was productive, but relaxed, keeping our bodies strong and our spirits high. The changes to my body continued and didn't go unnoticed. I hardly needed to shave and my body hair became non-existent. My hands seemed to be thinner and my skin was defiantly softer. I needed to wear work gloves to protect my hands, since the callus that was on my hands seemed to disappear overnight. I was defiantly losing weight, and I just felt a little shorter. Soon, something very strange began to happen. I found myself more and more interested in the idle conversations the women were having. I thought nothing of it since the women were my only companions. One day, they began referring to me as one of the girls. As my weight reduced, they began kidding me about it, saying that if I keep loosening weight, I'll have to borrow some of their things. I began to feel a kinship with the women and enjoyed being with them. As these changes were difficult to ignore, the other women were also experiencing similar alterations, but for them, they became more feminine. Adi was relentless in her zeal for the work. She kept everyone working, just 4 hours a day in the field, and the afternoons were spent examining and cataloging every artifact we found. It was around this time that we found a subterranean room filled with kachinas, all of them female deities. As our work progressed in this ceremonial room, we located a passageway that had been covered over by the mud stucco covering the walls. It took about a week, but we soon found it to be an entrance to a cave. As we explored the cave, another passageway was discovered in a dark corner. Adi was very excited, but before she entered, she took me aside and urged me not to go inside. Powerful spirits are present, and even the charm would not protect me if their wrath was inspired. This was a sacred place for women only, and I should stay out. I took her warning seriously and continued my work in the ceremonial room. She and the other girls went inside. After what seemed an eternity, they returned. Strangely, they looked very refreshed. No tiredness from hard work, but rather younger and oddly, the workers seemed changed. Somehow they were now very beautiful. Adi was always pretty, and the others still paled in comparison. I couldn't explain it, but by nightfall I was certain something happened to them inside the cave. I tried to discuss it to her, but Adi just smiled and asked me, how long had it been since I was with a woman? That caused a roar of laughter from my colleagues. It consumed me, and by morning I decided I must enter the cave despite Adi's warning. The next day was an off day, so I'd have some time to myself. After our morning meeting, I told Adi I would be going out for a walk to scout out some photographic sites. Since I'd been taking pictures every chance I got, she was not surprised. I left camp with my photo gear and walked out of sight, then circled around to the vortex. It took about an hour, but I was soon standing outside the second passage. The tunnel entrance was back in a dark corner of the cave. Behind an outcrop of solid rock, there was a small recess, and in there, in the darkness, was the opening. The air was cool, almost cold, and burned a little as you breathed it in. But it was so fresh-smelling, strange, being so far underground. As I looked into the passageway, I could see a faint light coming from the end of the tunnel. I hesitated, and then, gathering my strength, I entered the tunnel. I felt a chill run through my body. It started in my toes and moved up my legs. It passed through my body and made me shiver. A sense of impending doom took hold, and it took all my concentration to maintain my calm. Who am I kidding? I was scared. I tried to run, but couldn't. I continued to walk, and in the middle of the tunnel, I passed through a barrier of sorts. In an instant, 40 years were removed. In that instant, I was no longer myself. My entire body seemed to shrink, my maleness stripped away. As I passed through the barrier, my inner body was released. Like the sculptor, he releases the work from within the stone. My new form, released from with my old body. My cloths were stripped, and I emerged on the other side, a very changed man. I was now a woman. As my aches and pains from 52 years of rugged living disappeared, I felt the elixir of youth returning. My heart was pounding. I wanted to run, but something held me. Something called me forward and into the unknown. I walked a short distance and found myself on a small precipice. From my vantage point, I could see a trail leading into a small valley, open to the sky. It was beautiful. Deeply forested with a shimmering lake, the fragrance of spring blossoms filled the air. I walked on. It was then I heard her voice, Adi's voice, and she said, I had been warned, but now it was too late. By coming to the place, I had been claimed by the spirits of this place. Later, I would learn the changes that started at the camp would never have changed me to much. Maybe I'd be a little smaller with finer, even feminine features, but I would have stayed male. By disregarding the warnings, by entering this sacred place, I was taken and made a disciple of the spirits. Had I been in a male site, I would have been given the attributes of a warrior. But since this was the vortex of a female deity, I was given the attributes of femininity. Then Adi was by my side. She took my hand and welcomed me as sister. With my hand in hers, I was led me down the path. I was aroused by her in way I never knew as a man. A knowing smile erupted on her full lips and she kissed me. Breaking away, she said, "Soon, my pretty, but now we must complete the ceremony. Can you swim? That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next story. And show your support on Patreon.